like to call the Village of Cotuit's Board of Water Commissioners, February 13th, 2019, meeting together to order. Call it to order. It is 5:30. Commissioner Campbell is here. Commissioner Robinson is here. Commissioner Hoppenstedt is here. Superintendent Wiseman, Office Manager Nash, and Prudential Committee Member Fran Parks. Oh, I need help tonight.
Yeah.
All present and accounted for. Do we have any public comment? Nice. Moving right along, we'll look at the minutes from our last meeting. January 30th.
That's if you can read them.
Whenever you're ready, I'll entertain a motion.
I have a motion to accept the minutes from the January 30th meeting.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those look good. We'll go to warrants.
Stuff.
that from warrants? Any questions?
Good.
Good. All right. Water quality report?
All right. We no bacteria this month. Everything was clean. In January. We did not do the VOCs, which is also the MTBEs that we will be doing this quarter. We were waiting to do them actually on Monday morning, and we had a pump go down, so we didn't want to run it through without our treatment going in. This is for the Lyme treatment. One of the pumps is down. The guy's coming tomorrow to replace the parts in it to take out, change the diaphragm and stuff. And he usually does a maintenance on them once every couple of years. This one just went a little early, that's all. So he's coming in to do that. We'll do the VOCs then, which are standard anyways. We do them in the first quarter, but that also includes the MTB and the VTEC that we usually do twice a year now. Other than that, the only thing under water quality was we had talked about the PFOSs last month, and I had quite a fun time talking to the lab and different people about it. I really can't get a price yet from anybody. The lab itself, the lab director just left last Friday, was his last day. The woman called me who is, they just made Monday the acting head over there. She called me up Friday afternoon and asked if he had called me back for my message. I said, no, I never heard from him. And she said, well, today was his last day, so what can I do for you?
There you go.
So,
which,
yeah.
Which lab is this, Chris?
Bonneville County.
Oh.
I don't know if you know Goleman. Yeah. He went to a water treatment facility off Cape to become their director over there of laboratory analysis and everything. Mm. But, yeah, so they got some stuff going on. They have the equipment there to do the PFOS. They just have to put it all together and try to get a price together. And because Goleman is gone, they have to rely on Sean O'Brien to do it now, who's running everything. And he's supposed to be putting the stuff together. So they were supposed to get me an email either today or tomorrow. She said tomorrow she would be talking to him about it. So I imagine we'll be getting it then. Other than that, everything's good.
Good. It's good news.
Yeah. And we do have, talking with Jen, we do have the money in the testing budget this year. If it's around the $350 that we thought it might be to do them to get a baseline, we have the money to do it this year. Just that, they're probably going to make us do it twice again next year to put a baseline for everybody, then to establish everything. So we have put that into next year's budget at the same time.
So we anticipate probably every 6 months having to do it?
At least for the first year. It'll probably go down to once a year testing,
yeah.
But in the first year, they'll have everybody do it like in the first quarter, then in the third quarter, just so they can establish first the baseline, then if there is anything, if it's seasonal changes or anything like that.
Superintendent's report.
All right. Superintendent's report read on February 13, 2019. We pumped in January of 2018 $7,179,000. In January of 2019, $7,135,000 for a decrease of 43,000 gallons, which is kind of unheard of, but it's nice that we had a little less at least. We didn't have any new services in January, but we did have two replacement services done. The truck is, talked to the guy at Doring today, who is the equipment company that we talked about that it was at.
Mm-hmm.
He said that the body is there, and they're preparing the body, the chassis there and the body. They're just preparing everything to be changed. He says he knows that he has everything that has to come up and transport stuff over. As a matter of fact, the guy I talked to said he built our original truck.
Oh.
He said, so he says, I know what's a pain and what isn't on it. He says, we'll go right over it again. He says, I'll talk to you. I said, great. So he was going to check with the guy who wrote the spec up and find out if he could get a little better timing on him, but he wasn't in. Tower North, they're still plugging away over there. I see the door open during the day. Every like 2 or 3 days, it seems like they're in there doing a little more, but they don't seem to be rushing to do anything.
What are they doing in there? Just pulling wires or dropping wires?
Yeah, they put the platform in. Now they got to bring all the equipment in to put on top of the platform. And then once everything's in there, they'll stop. I think, like I said, I think they're trying to save money by bringing the crane in all at once and trying to put the stuff up high at that one time. The last thing I have on here, and you know, if there's anything else, just ask. But I did talk to a guy by the name of Chris Walls over at Cape Cod Audubon, and he sent me a plan on how to make an osprey structure. He said that he's made plenty in the past, and he'd like to know if we decide to do it. He was kind of hesitant about putting one up there because he says if the woods are going to be growing back, the osprey's not going to want to stay there. He says if you got an 80, because I think that's 80 foot right now, that structure that's there. He says to find something that's 80 foot tall to put up. He says most of the stuff he puts up is about 30 foot tall. So, you know, he says if you know anybody that has any old telephone poles, I said I might have a couple in the woods that have been cut down and I can go measure them and see how long they are. But I don't think they're any longer than 40 feet myself, 40, 50 feet at the most. And I don't know if that would bring it above the tree line or out in the open enough for them to actually, you know, with all the work and putting into it and putting it up there, if they would use it.
I don't think that's a good use of our time. I don't think it's the right place, frankly. I mean, it's a nice idea, but they need to be out more in the open.
I think probably what's going to happen anyways with that structure, that 300-foot structure sticking up in the air, is even if we put one up, they're going to go for that.
Yeah, they're going to try to go over there and put it in someplace
they'll
else.
Do it.
Yeah.
They'll put it on that new tower if there's anything hanging on it, and there will be.
Yep. Well, they'll head down to the power lines. That's the same distance for them to fly up in the air to just to go over the power lines isn't that far at all either.
Mm-hmm. The power lines won't open. They like that.
Yeah. And that concludes it. Not a lot to discuss on that. We just met a couple weeks ago.
Good.
Mr. Chairman, can I ask one question?
Absolutely.
What is the CVAC revenue? I don't understand that. Credits from what?
Metering credits, electric metering credits. They're offered to us through, CVAC is Cape and Vineyard right now. They have to give solar credits back, metering credits back. On certain projects, I think it's either the government says, hey, if you're going to put this much money into solar and everything else, we want you to give some of the money back.
I believe, Fran, didn't you guys just get in on it also?
Yeah.
So they give it to the water district or fire district or what is that, the water department?
Yeah, they send us a check every 2 months.
But for what in exchange? They're just nice people?
No.
So you basically had to evaluate the amount of power that the array could generate, and then Com got in on it, and we got in on it, and we had to analyze all of our electric bills to see what our usage is, and then that divided the ratio.
But we don't have a solar array.
No, we don't.
No,
but
we're getting it from the one number we've weighed, and we didn't so much gas.
They're supposed to share their wealth, and that's we're basically getting the gift.
Did we invest in that?
No. No, it's basically it's a gift.
It's free money. Payment.
Yeah.
Pass through.
Okay. Great.
Yeah.
Is it a reliable source that can be budgeted each year, or is it just?
It depends on what the thing is per kilowatt hour. It's per kilowatt hour that they pay us. So, you know, I think it's 11 cents. I think it is per kilowatt hour. It was 12, but I think CVEC for doing. Their stuff takes 1 cent.
So municipalities get it too?
All municipalities. I have the option to do it, yeah.
Okay.
A lot of times we can get in.
And it's continuing?
It's like a 20-year contract I think we have right now.
Great. Okay. Do you have any
you know where we are in that contract?
We're about 3 years in now.
Yeah, it's new. So we won't be here anymore.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah. Any other questions? Move on to old business. Cost of services study discussion. So, as per our request, Tater and Howard and Megan Davis have put together the proposal that we've been bantering around, kind of refining. And I know all the commissioners have a copy of the latest and greatest in front of them. I think this is also where we want to talk about public meetings,
yeah,
and a schedule for those meetings, and just how to roll this out. Commissioner Campbell had a question about funds that we may be deferring from tax.
Okay, so we're trying to get all the information to the public as best we can. However this gets rolled out, whether it's a one-shot deal or over 2 years, we are taking money off the tax bill. So if we're going to show them what we're paying right now to what we're going to be paying with the change in the rates, I think we need to be able to show something, and this is why I'm glad Frank's here. I don't know if you can answer this, because it's a question you don't know what it's going to bring, but if we reduce how much do we get our income from taxes, it's a 2-year rollout. What's that? How does that affect the tax rate? How does the taxpayer benefit by that? And I know that we don't know what else might be required of the taxpayer from other departments, but we are, and if we're going to make this viable, they have to be able to see there's a cost and there's a benefit. They have to see some sort of wash out there. It shouldn't be costing them more for the same thing. In the end run, it should cost about the same. It's just coming from a different place. So how can we show them how it would affect the tax rate?
So you brought in
about $550,000 last
okay.
year.
Okay. So, and
then our overall budget was 1.1 something.
1.1. So basically, $600,000 came from taxes. And we can ask Ray, you know, if he can figure that out. But I'm not sure. It's kind of hard to figure out because there are some people, not many, that don't have to it water, district water, but they still pay taxes.
Yeah,
so
I just
I don't think you can go that far into the weeds, but.
Well, I just wonder if we use the year we're in right now, so we know what the tax base is right now, how much, what the rate is. If we were to take away
$600,000.
What would the tax rate be approximately? Just a rounding figure. If it had changed out right now for this year.
Well, I think the tax rate now is 4.2%.
Okay.
Don't hold me to that. So, you know, we could presumably just subtract $600,000 from the overall budgeted cost for the district, and that should be able to, hopefully.
Yeah, I'm not looking for an exact.
Yeah.
Just, we have to have something to work with. So we can go from 4 point so many cents to another figure. Then the people know what they're paying right now. They can make their own adjustment.
I can ask Ray.
Okay.
Yeah, because it would basically, I believe, be about an increase of 500,000 I think it is, looking at the figures that we got here, that would be added to, we're basically doubling our wages. I mean, the amount that we're putting into the general fund. So I think it would be around $500,000 to $600,000.
No, I'm just trying, I want to find out.
To ease the burden, yeah.
The amount of money that comes off the taxes right now to pay our budget. If you take that away, how does it affect the tax rate?
Yeah. Yeah, it's only Ray. Ray's the only one that can answer that. Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll have to talk
to you. We have to start somewhere.
Seems to me the other way to figure it out is if you, what percentage of 500 or 600,000, what percentage of the total annual revenues of the district tax is that? That's one way to look at it. But I think more importantly, just as in our little explanation here, we're trying to work through what average households can expect. So we said that, you know, two-thirds of the ratepayers would see an increase of X, you know, and I think if we looked at what is the average annual district tax bill, not the rate. Rates don't really help people. They don't necessarily know what their assessed value is. They don't have the tax bills handy. But if we just show them that right now the average, or two-thirds of the tax, or the ratepayers, taxpayers in the district pay less than $800. And we're taking away a certain percentage of the total revenues by adding it onto the water rate, then therefore perhaps that same percentage would be a reduction in the average annual tax to two-thirds of the. There's some way to do it. There's a way to calculate. I just don't say, oh, well, your rate's going to come down by 22 cents. What does that mean? I don't know.
Well, I think, you know, considering that somebody might have a teeny tiny house and use a massive amount of water because they're a gardener, and then somebody else might have a huge house and not water anything. So.
But we do know the breakdown. There's two-thirds of the ratepayers use less than, what is it, 80,000?
80,000.
Yeah, so two-thirds of our accounts pay less than $200 per year in total fees now for getting up to 80,000 gallons. So that's a calculation that we could do based on Jen's analysis. It's something similar that can be done with the district tax. It seems two-thirds of the taxpayers in the district pay less than X amount now, and we're taking away a certain percentage of the revenues by adding it onto the water revenues. Therefore, you could expect your $300 district tax to come down by the same percentage. I'm not explaining it very well, but you see what I'm trying to get at? I think that that's more, we can come up with the rate too, but that again, it has to be voted by the voters. The voters have to approve that budget for the district and the revenues for the district. So that's sort of out of our hands, but we could give them this rough calculation just to show them that there is this, I'm trying to make it equalized somehow. And some of it is out of our hands because we can only do one thing, which is set the water rate. It's up to the district voters to set.
I understand that. But I want to show something that there's a relationship with our increasing the water rates to what the tax rate's going to be.
Yeah.
Now, there's a lot of contingencies on that. I mean, if we want to build a new fire station or buy five new trucks or whatever it is, there's going to be a huge increase in taxes because of that, and
decreasing the water is going to be a moot point because, you know, it's going to go up for other reasons, if just inflation.
Well, right now, like 60% of our revenue for the water department comes from taxes. That's not going to happen anymore.
Yeah.
If we go through with the rate change. And I don't know if just knowing that would be sufficient. It's like, all right. So
I'm going to want to know.
Probably go down.
What do I have to budget in my household for next year if my water rate's going from $76 to $240, am I going to expect a corresponding decrease in my district tax? And as Fran says, it's unknown until the budgets are voted on. But if we could look at just all things being equal, if it was just a static FY19 thing going forward, what would have happened with this new rate increase on water? So I just think people like to do that in their heads to see how it affects them as best they can, realizing that every situation is different. And, but I think that that's more interesting than lots of charts. And I mean, I wouldn't dare give this out to anybody in the audience. It's meaningless to them. It's almost meaningless to me. I've looked at it 3 times. So they want to know, how does it affect me? And the best we can answer that question, I think, is the way to go, recognizing that there are these variables, some of which will be known after the district meeting in May. Until then, I think we just have to answer somewhat generally that it makes sense that the district tax should go down if the voters...
It would be an obvious assumption, but you can't predict outside influences,
right,
which would come from fire or financial, who knows what, or anything.
And maybe that's the only way we can answer it, is that, you know, we're doing our part to make this department more self-funding. Up to the district to figure out the rest of the story.
Well, the reality is, it's up to the people come to the district meeting and
voters.
Vote on the budget.
District voters, yes.
You know, and say...
We said that in here.
To me, I remember coming to district meetings, and they'd be hours long, and there'd be some fights and arguments and up and down and debates, and now it's almost like a rush to see how fast we get this thing done and break a record this year. And there's no questions about anything,
right,
which I kind of think is a little sad.
Well, I mean, you can only control the process by putting the information out there, encouraging people, and then it's democracy. People show up, but they don't.
If you find a way to get people to ask more questions, be sure and let me know, because...
Which is why I think it's important that we do set the schedule and get the word out as best we can, lots of different ways. We talked about doing that.
So do you want to move to that point now?
Yeah, and so Jen and I...
Schedule and mailing?
Jen and I worked very briefly on an insert that could be put into the March billing that will go to all the ratepayers, and I guess that's this one with a little bit of red on it. We have that one. So it would be a front and back postcard size thing that would fit in the mailer and not make the postage go over. And it's just, again, announcing this and encouraging them to seek more info. You're not going to get much info on a note card, so you have to do something. You have to be activated to go get the information. And on the back, we've got a lot of different places that you can go. Some of this is still to be determined. We did set a date of April 16th. The Civic Association will give us that session that they will advertise. And hopefully I can arrange for a videographer to be there. We talked about doing a standalone filming of something in this session. Jen and I thought that maybe it'd be better. We talked about going to the Cape Media studio. I think that's what we talked about. And I think that if we filmed a workshop here, that would be more compelling.
We actually have a video recorder that you could use to do that.
You have somebody?
Yeah.
Oh, great.
I can show it to you at the end of the meeting.
So
we have a recorder, not a person operating, right?
Not a perfect. You could. We get a guy from Charlie's Music to come and, record the annual meeting. So.
Well, I don't know if we need the whole annual meeting. We just want.
We want that meeting on April 16th where Taylor Howard is going to come.
Yeah.
Right. That's that's what we want. Yes. The expert will be there. Best time to ask questions. We'll be there. And it doesn't have to be, you know, Hollywood quality. It's just a document, another document that people can find and educate themselves. What we're trying to do is lead the horses to water. We, you know, can only make so many of them drink that want to. But we just don't want to be accused of not getting the word out. That's the worst thing that we can do.
On the 16th, Tate and Howard will be there to present this proposal?
I don't know. If you guys
that was the plan, if we were going to have a public meeting to start rolling out the proposed rate and getting some feedback, that they would do that public presentation.
So we need to tell them to be there on that day. I did think we get more people at the Civic Association here meeting than these monthly commission meetings.
You think?
Because they're better advertised.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Okay.
So do we want to have the filmmaker there, the videographer?
Yeah.
And so Fran, Jen knows who you're talking about that we can contact?
At Charlie's Music?
I know Charlie's Music, but did you record it last year? Is that what you're saying?
They come every year to record the annual meeting.
Is that an audio interview?
No, it's just audio for the annual meeting.
Oh, we want to do a video for you.
Right, yes, I know, but we have a video camera.
Okay.
That I bought from Charlie's, that we purchased from Charlie's.
So someone would come and record for us?
Probably.
Video, and then...
You know, I think we pay $95 about for the annual meeting.
Okay.
They're here for that, so...
Our meeting might be longer, though.
I'll, if you want, I'll contact your music, and you can contact your contact and sandwich, and we'll...
I think he'd be more like 200. So try your guy first.
Yeah. And that'll be on the 16th, and then we can also see.
We'll talk.
Tate and Howard can present on that date.
Yeah,
well.
Jim Danhauser of the Civic Association did mention again the floor here, whether it's going to be ready. If not, he said we could go to Bruce Hall or the library.
We're expecting the floor to be done the last week of March.
So it'll be ready for use by the last week of March, so that will work. Okay. And then you guys have Water Commission meetings Wednesdays, March 20th, April 17th, May 15th, June 19th.
Can you say those again?
If we go with the third Wednesday, so it's March 20th, April 17th, May 15th, and June 19th.
I'm going to miss that one.
I think, would we have already voted it in June or not? Would it be before or after the district meeting?
The district meeting is the 29th of May.
Right, so...
So, that would come out.
But would we set the rate before or after the meeting? Does it matter? It just has to be ready for July 1st, right?
The only thing
you
would have to vote
on
the June meeting.
Right. The only thing that would be contingent is if the bylaw addition piece gets turned down at annual district meeting, that impacts the rate of revenue.
I have about $45,000.
But it won't impact our bottom line and the structure of the rate increase. We could still move forward with the rate increase. We just wouldn't end up with stabilization.
Would we still increase the base rate if we're not putting it into a stabilization fund?
We wouldn't have the additional meter fee.
Well, we wanted input.
Yeah.
I mean, we decide that. But. who feels strongly about it one way or the other.
Test the water.
And you'll get that new one.
Do we have any sort of a phased in? Did Megan provide a phased in scenario for us?
No, but we can ask for.
If that's a proposal, if that's something we want to ask the district, we have to have something they can look at.
Yeah, it could be just, you know, if the rate increase is $2.50, then we do $1.25 this year and an additional $1.25 the next year. It seems to me that that'd be the easiest way just to break it in half, the difference between the current rate and the proposed rates. Break it in half for year one and the second half of the increase year two.
That'd be the simplest, easiest way.
Yeah, but the reality is, it's our responsibility to set the water rates. I mean, it's so we should have an opinion and what we think is right, what we would like to see done.
Yeah.
And there's almost a question of whether or not it should be. I understand about letting everyone be a part of the process, but it's really part of our process.
Well, it is. But if there's a strong recommendation from the commission or the staff that we should do it one way or the other, we should tell the public that our recommended alternative is to do it this way.
Because
but we're here to take comment about that recommended course of action. And if, you know,
I like that when you said that, commissioners and staff. That's nice. I remember listening to other committees say staff. I thought, isn't it nice to have staff?
I mean, I think anybody would vote for a phased in approach because that means they're paying half their water bill. And
right.
Next year, they're saving half the water bill.
But they still have, then their taxes are going to be higher.
Yeah.
So back
but
to
their
that.
Their taxes are still being subsidized
so
by
that's,
people that don't pay.
That's part of our argument then. That sense it should be a wash because you're going to get sticker shock on the water, but you're going to get a reduction in taxes. So
yeah, but they also have to realize it's a 1 year, the first year we put in the rate change, the taxes aren't going to be changed until a full year goes by and they can gauge their tax adjustment based on the income for that last year. So there's not going to be in the same year a rate increase on water and a tax decrease at the same time that first year. It's going to be staggered. Right? Yeah. So the first, there's going to be, 1 year's at least going to be a hit.
So I think that argues for phasing it.
Yeah. But it just puts the whole thing out 2 years, which makes everything kind of changing for 2 years. There's no settlement, there's no. Gonna have pain. I like to have it all at once.
So you're saying then it's going to be in the third year that you're going to see the real balancing?
Correct.
Yeah.
Okay.
You might want to talk to the folks in Barnstable that just did that. They phased it over 3 years, I believe. And certainly when Centerville went whole hog on a one-time increase, that didn't work out well for the water commissioners.
But it did fine for the water department, and they're doing great now. They don't have any trouble with ratepayers any more than anybody else does.
I don't know if they actually instituted that one-time increase or modified it.
They did. I can check with Fox.
I can check over that too and find out exactly. Check it in if you want, get up all information. I know even Patrick has had to do it to a couple different places and, you know, go in. He said, you know, I've been the guy that has to go in and explain everything. He says, no one likes to hear it. He said, until you tell them that, you know, you're paying $230 a month to watch cable TV, but you're paying, you know, only $40 a year for your freaking water that you need. So let's put your priorities where your priorities should be.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I understand where you guys are coming from with the phased-in approach. I just don't you gotta do it, just do it, in my mind. But
so,
do you want to check with Bossible, or you want?
Yeah, I can give Tom a call and ask him how they phased it in.
Because I talked to their treasurer last week, and he was very helpful.
Well, yeah, they might be. It might be able to give you a better idea than
Tom.
Got his
phone number, got his email.
Yeah, why don't you talk to him then, and I'll talk to Tom. Needs something, he can give me a call on verification and stuff.
All right.
So I can talk to Tom, because if they're they had that issue where they voted out all the water commissioners because of their reaction to change, and find out how they, you know, what really happened, how it happened.
There was a lot of other things that were going on.
I know there was. That's why.
Yeah, but the state has asked everybody to be self-sufficient for a while. They want everybody to be self-sufficient.
The state has?
Yeah, the state does. They don't want you to deal with. They would rather all water departments be total self-sufficient. They don't want it to be related on a tax basis.
Is that something they wrote and sent out as a policy?
When Com first did it, that first time when everybody was shocked and everything else, they came through trying to be preemptive on it, and that's when the state came down and made their suggestion is, I don't believe it's a law, it's their suggestion to everybody.
Well, if there's language on that, it would be good to
yeah. And have it in your materials that you can email around. That'd be cool.
So can I ask a question? Are you going to go to quarterly billing?
That's in the proposal. That's what
and
we're figuring.
Credit card and e-check payments?
Dependent on the treasurer. They have to set up the merchant account, and we can follow up when they, last week, Chris was bringing that and the week before.
Ian, is there such a thing as if you're going to be doing credit card payments like that, where there's a charge back to this, or like an administration fee?
No, it's my understanding there's not a charge to you. It's a charge to the person using their card. But apparently there are also some credit card companies that have a minimal or no charge for using, you know, like it'd be the same as if you used it at Macy's.
So, but, I mean, when we talk about quarterly payment, the first initial payment would be one half of what the base fee is. The second would be the overage, because we have to read the meters twice a year. Would be what the overage charge would be for 6 months.
Yeah, I don't know how you're going to set it up, but
That's the way we're looking at setting it up. The third payment would be the second half of the base, and the fourth would be the whatever the yearly figure rendering out would be. So it would be pretty predictable.
So it sounds like you're gonna still have the same. It'll be essentially the same as if you just get two bills, and you're gonna get, you know, just, you know, it'd be better, I think, if you could just. I don't know how other departments do it. Do they do it like that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So
you're going from one reading a year to two. Two bills a year, four. And the first and the third bill can be predictable because it would be the base rate. And then the second and the fourth is based on the usage.
So it's basically like two mini water billing years. You'll have a minimum, yep, and an excess, a minimum and an excess. And Don, I did clarify with Tate and Howard, it will both start back at zero. So it doesn't pick up where the high tier left off. Go back to the 10,000 gallons of minimum use. I did put a comparison in there that you were looking for attached to the back of that color packet, and I can share this with you, friend. I'll give you my copy, actually, you can leave if you want it. I took two specific accounts, one that used 32,000 gallons.
Where are you here?
So the back color page. Packet that you have, the very last page,
yep,
in really tiny print.
Thank you. You want to see this?
So there's one. Okay. One that uses 32,000
gallons. I see that, yeah. Is it mine?
There's one that uses 32,000 gallons and one that uses 241,000 gallons, so you might recognize the calendar. So this one
this is the current structure, and then based on the proposed structure, assuming that it starts July 1st, your first bill would come September 30th for the $50, which is the base fee and the meter fee that we're proposing for the bylaw, and then an overage bill and up to the first price tier. And then a 331 bill at the base, a 630 bill at the excess, and then for somebody with a little bit of higher uses, this is what your bill, so this is what the total bill would be as compared to under the current structure. So in this case, here's the current structure, and then this is what the total bill would be under the new structure.
So now explain it to me, because I'm trying to...
Yep. So let's look at this
one. I get that part.
Okay, so this is the current bill under the existing structure. Under the new structure, you would get a bill that would close September 30th, they'd mail in October, for $50, which is the base fee plus the time. We had to make some assumptions because they did that based on the pumpage, overall pumpage, that 59% of that usage happens in the summer months versus 41% in the winter months. So we kind of weighted the average. If you use 32,000 gallons a year annually, we took 59% of that and assumed that 19,000 gallons happened in that first billing and 13,000 happened in the second.
So right now, the existing structure is 36 plus 21.
Correct.
Right?
That's your total annual bill.
So that's $47 and change, right?
57.60.
Didn't add right, okay.
57.60.
Yeah, 57.60. Okay. And it's going to be up to 148.
Yep, and that's for somebody that uses 32,000 gallons. Now you have somebody that uses 241,000 gallons. And again, we weighted it 59% in the summer, 41% in the winter months.
Okay, but that's quite a big difference. What's the numbers of people who use that much water?
So the bill is going to go from $641 for their annual cost for water to $1,769.
And we have a lot of people that use that much water?
Well, the majority of 62% of the people use less than 80,000 gallons right now. But this accomplishes what one of your goals was in that it takes the burden off the taxpayer and puts it on the water user.
Yep.
Okay. Make sense?
Yep.
Questions? Good.
Everyone knows what my water bill is.
Nobody knows it's you. It's just an accountant.
Just said so.
Now, if we could do that for their tax bill,
we can't. Right? But the reality is, I mean, most of the people that use a huge amount of water are going to have a big house.
Yeah. It's not big yard, maybe a big garden.
It's not Granny Frigate in a two-bedroom ranch that doesn't pay that much in tax because their property isn't worth that much. That's going to be killed with the water bill. It's going to be someone that has a big house. Larger tax bill, you would think.
So basically, like you were saying before, the biggest impact, that 62% of their users under 80,000.
Yeah.
We said a good chunk of those just use the minimum use. Their annual bill is going to go from $36 to $100.
Thank you.
Which is on the page just prior to that.
Yeah.
Can you use her?
Seems like all these scenarios, it's less than a tripling.
I think they have that in that packet. Percentages increase.
That's the rate adjustment on the right side?
Correct. So it says, first the minimum use tier, the rate increase. And the second
zone cycle is 122%, 124%.
But the higher tiers increased at a higher rate.
Yeah,
true. All right, if we go back to the discussion on phased in versus all or none, is that something we need to ask Tate and Howard to do, or do we just want to make it a straightforward, simple thing and just split these numbers in half, as you mentioned? It's gonna change what our revenue is, which means we're no longer gonna be in the black, we're gonna be in the red for this year again and next year.
Would the Prudential Committee have a suggestion on that?
Not next year.
But I have a suggestion. I think you should be able to pay for it. It's gonna be a rate shock, even if it's, you know, only $100 or $200.
Yeah, I think, you know, administratively it would be cleaner to do it in 1 year for us, but I think that it does show some sympathy and willingness to accommodate people that are used to getting free water. As far as I can tell.
So Tate and Howard will rerun those scenarios for us. But I think we need to give them some guidance on what we're looking for. My one question that comes up for me is if we say, okay, we're just going to take those tiers and cut them in half instead of the $4 tier, it would be a $2 tier, and so on and so forth. For 1 year. I think that's fine, but I think the base fee, the $40 and the $10, you might want to make in the first year, because otherwise you're going to end up billing less than the minimum you bill now.
Yeah.
If you cut that down. So change the base fee and the minimum fee this year and then cut the tier rate.
So the base fee, the $40 base fee, is that replace the $36? Yeah.
So it's pretty much an even flux.
Yeah. Where'd you get that? That's our current.
Well, I mean, with the in the back.
Okay.
If you have a bunch of them, you can just print the other side.
Right.
At least for the crowd.
The crowd. Crowd. All right. So, do you guys want to go with a phase in?
All we need is 200 free to save, one way or the other.
Correct.
I'd rather go for it. So, but I will support whatever the majority goes for.
I don't feel strongly about it, but I think that I think we should listen, and I think we should pay attention to the Prudential Committee, which has its hands on the numbers.
Since we are increasing these prices quite a bit, we have quite a hefty 10% penalty for people that don't pay their bills within the 60 days, I believe it is.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's something you guys want to revisit, because if we're knocking things up three times the amount, and people are having trouble making it now to get in there to pay a bill that's 10% on top of now, it's going to be tripled also.
Well, they may have to give up one of their cell phones.
True. But I've had to check field and say, hey, 10%, that's what it's been. I don't know. I've sat at Jen's desk and had people come in and go, is there any way to get rid of this? Because 10% is just a whack in the face. You know, I can understand if it was, you know, 5%. I can understand if it was underneath, you know, this. But 10%, jeez. Who has 10%? I said, well, your credit card company probably has 19. But
yeah, I mean, you pay a bill and you don't have it.
Yeah.
True.
You do 1.5% a month.
Oh boy. What's that?
And it comes. You're yeah. Not paying the bill.
Then we have to bill every month.
I don't know. If people can't pay the bill, then you know, we can figure out some other arrangements, but I don't think you should just reduce the penalty. penalty is a stimulus to pay the bill. And if you can't pay the bill, then come in and work something out.
And that's just it. We're talking about giving them an avenue for a hardship. We work with people to establish payments, and by one guy, it's going to be $15 a week. And that's how we gave them the bill. But it worked for them, and that's the problem. That was the process for them. So I'm fine with keeping the 10% penalty, and I'll deal with those phone calls because it's a standard policy across the board. And we have some people that will pay their bill and pay that 10% without batting an eye, and we have other people that question it. They would question it if it was 5%, they would question it if it was 2.5%.
I think you're okay. I don't know if 10% was high in any case.
It's 10% per bill, per billing period.
It's per bill, yeah, it's only a one-time fee.
One-time 10%.
So it would be the
one
same
time.
Thing. It would be if you hit the $50, you know, then it would be a $5 penalty on that. It wouldn't carry on to the next bill. If your next bill came and you still owed that $55 and it was $110, you'd only get a penalty on $110 if you pay that.
What about the delinquent payers, people that don't pay their bills and pay them through their taxes?
So
do they have to pay?
Including the penalty.
The penalty is included in it. And the town of Barnstable passes that on for us.
Yeah.
What is the town's rate, penalty rate?
More than
10, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you're right.
If, you know, anybody else that you're not paying the bills, you don't just get, you know, it's cumulative. It's not just a one-time deal. You're not turning people's water off when they don't pay their bills consistently. There's no penalty involved.
You don't have to pay it on time.
For not paying your bills on time. You know, for the people that don't pay their bills so that they can get a lien, so that they can take it off the taxes. That's my responsibility
too much.
Mr. Chairman, I make a motion that we keep it at 10%.
Second motion.
I would entertain a motion that would include that as well as a 2-year phased approach to the rate scenario change, number 4C, and includes the new base fees as well as meter fee to be effective in FY19.
FY20. We're in 19 now.
So FY20. So the phased approach would be for the water usage fees only, and the base fee and the meter fee would go into effect July 1.
Friendly amendment. The stabilization fund is not passed by the district voters, the $50 fee would become $40 fee?
Correct.
And one other question, is it still, are the bills still due in 60 days?
That would still be 60 day due period with 10%. If you don't pay with it.
So this is our recommendation. We're not adopting the system.
This is our preferred option.
So, and that's what we'll present as our recommendation to the voters, to the ratepayers that come in to discuss this with us.
And an alternative would be no change? No? Or an alternative would be...
Well, no, I don't think that's...
Is there another option?
I think that the input that we want is phasing and maybe hardship. We don't want free-floating anxiety of what the rate should be.
Yeah, so that's what I mean. It's either you take this
so you vote us off the board and somebody else comes out and cuts the deal.
So I accept all those amendments to my motion.
So we have a motion on the table to maintain the 60-day 10% penalty for tardy bills, call them delinquent bills. We have, as part of that, we have a proposed rate increase for scenario 4C to go in effect in fiscal year 2020 with options for either phasing it in over 2 years or doing it during.
Although our recommendation is to
phase it
in for 2020 at half the new tiered rates and to be in fully in effect for FY21.
And maintain the new base fees as well as meter fee and your work fees, because there's some changes in the work fees.
Yes.
Well, I'm missing anything.
I don't believe you're missing anything. I just don't think you need to do that right now. I just wait till April after the meeting. You know exactly what you want to say. Just have it down and go on the 10th.
I think you're agreeing on what you would propose.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're making a motion for
it. Yeah, we don't want to come to a meeting and say, what do you think the rate should
we
be?
We think, yeah. Right. We'd like to come with something that's pretty concrete. And we're looking for some input on how it's affected, how it goes into effect.
That's my motion.
I'll second that.
I can second the motion.
Okay.
Has to be a vote, though.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Aye. But I'm with it all the way. I just rather see it go. Just do it. Get it over with. But
well, we might still.
Right.
Just. But this is what the board wants to do. Then we should. We will all be on the same page and moving forward with it. That's all. They'll never, you know, I'm not going to not be 100% behind it because it's not what I think it should be done. It's just, I just think it would be better off getting it done once instead of having to deal with it for 2 years in a row. Because it's just going to be a battle for 2 years.
Well, we're not going to, no, we're going to set the rate, which will include the second year. We're not going to meet 12 months from now and say, okay, let's vote on...
No, I understand. Not that kind of battle. It's just when the rate changes again the second time, there's going to be a reaction to it. Again. Mm-hmm. And they're not going to really realize it's just putting out a couple years the balancing act between the rates going up and the taxes going down.
You're going to have to do what?
There'll be a lot of bill stuff that's going out constantly. Yeah. Don't forget, you know, the next
preemptive
year
before
happen,
the first bill goes out.
You're going to get a bill in another, you know, 3 months. You know,
so at the beginning of fiscal year 21, when we send out the base rate fee, we'll send a reminder that says, "Don't forget, you know, this is the second part of the step increase. Your bill is going to go up again. The new rates are."
Can I make a suggestion? I think if you include it on your bills to, you know, start collecting people's email addresses, that would be useful in getting information to your customers, because that's how people get information now. It's either they email or Instagram, or I don't think you should be tweeting or to people.
No,
but
get a master list of as many people as possible and send out a blast.
I mean, the Civic Association will do that for you. But they won't give you their list. I think you need to
create
your own list, number one. Number two, it's more convenient for people because they can, you know, at 2 o'clock in the morning, somebody's up doing something and goes, geez, I have a question. and they can just, you know, email off a question to the water department. And I just think it would be an excellent way to, you know, go back and forth with the customers.
Move to personnel update. Everybody good with cost of services? Or do you want to go? I'm sorry, we got the bylaw revision stabilization fund. Love that.
Oh, Mr. Chairman, I think we want to get this, at least this part and this part, approved for distribution, but I guess we can wait one more month.
Let's not for this.
Not for this, but for this week. So is this note card okay for the March billing?
Is everybody good with our dates?
Yes.
29th. Then we've got March 20th for our next meeting, and we've got to find a place for that, but I think we're good with the fire department.
Yep, assuming it's on the 20th, Chris said the room is available and she will look it for us.
And then April 17th, which is the day after the Civic Association, May 15th, and June 9th.
Yeah, the Civic Association, we're only going to be talking about rates, not no other business. So
yeah.
It's important to have a 17th to do other business. If somebody wants to come in and talk about it after the 16th, they can.
At the Civic Association, because we'll all be there, it needs to be posted as a public meeting.
So it'll be we have two meetings that month. Two meetings, 2 days.
And that will be a good opportunity for
on my vacation
to talk about the feedback from the meeting on the 16th.
Yeah, it'll be fresh. So this note card looks okay with these new dates and changes?
Good.
Yes.
Any preference of color for cardstock?
Whatever Michael's got that's least expensive.
Glossy, matte, any preference?
It's just information. Yellow is nice.
I thought I saw something that said, oh, I think it was in here.
Then this is your
draft three. Is the one
draft three talking points, right?
Right. So this would be on the website, easily emailed out. We should probably put our logo on it somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Once we get finalized, I'll give it to Tata and Howard to prepare with the materials for the meeting for the 16th, and then we'll just post all the meeting materials.
And if, as we get more questions, you know, we should add them here. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's rare that somebody comes up with a different question. I mean, I just brainstorm with myself. How would I want to be answered in some of these questions? But trying to make it so it's understandable, and you know, at least that we agree that these are the answers.
Do the math on all these?
Yeah.
Yep. Mark?
And that includes the new split where they go back to the base after
well,
the
yeah, so
three.
Based on our discussion tonight and the new materials from Megan, we'll update this document again.
But I think that's interesting that less, two-thirds of the accounts pay less than $200 a year. I mean, that includes me. Thing that I have for coming in the house.
So, Mark, there's only one thing about that one particular paragraph. Because I know it states
just to let you know.
The the water commissioners set the rates in 1991. We structured them last in 2005. But the rates themselves only really cover 45% of what the cost of running the water department is, as compared to our proposal of making it 100%.
Right now it's 45%?
I think it's roughly 45%, isn't it? The water department, the water rates income is about 40 to 45% of the total cost of the water department. The rest made up by taxes. That's the rough figure there.
I went to the handout from Ray at the annual district meeting last year where he actually calculates that on our budget page.
Oh, it's already up there.
And it was, I think it was 58%.
What? Taxes?
Was funded by the taxes. It was like a 60-40 split.
Right, okay. So we got it up here. It's in the first question, actually, Don.
Okay.
The second paragraph of the first question, we put that figure in there.
Yeah, that would make it more of a complete statement of what we're trying to do, mm-hmm. how the water department's paid for.
Yep. How is it funded now?
The other thing is, I just when I was looking at this, and I'm not sure if I heard it wrong, but I'm not positive. When we talk about the proposed dedicated stabilization fund, it can't be as vague as this is. I think it doesn't have to be specific. Weren't you saying?
In terms of what its use is for?
Yeah. And here it says, you know, the ability to fund emergencies and infrastructure and well-field property management outside of the annual budget cycle. It would have to be for something more specific, I think.
It could do those.
Take out the word campaign.
It could be extremely broad.
Like
oh, it can?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
But
okay.
You have to have two-thirds vote of the legislative body
to use it.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah. And I don't know if we could do a bylaw that covers it annually. It gives you access to those funds annually so that you don't have to call emergency meetings and just have the bylaw stipulate that you go through the Prudential Committee so you've got a couple layers. If there's any way to do that. But it's not taxpayer dollars. It's meter user dollars. It's water user dollars.
Still, that adds the
legislative
body. So all that really means is we can't. It's not meant for something that happens we have to deal with right now. It'd be part of our yearly budget planning.
Yeah.
If we come up with, if there's a project we want to go on, I can't really see the district voters saying, no, I don't want to save any money in my taxes by using this money that we already have. But I think they would pretty easily do that.
Right. I think, and so down the road, once the account was established, you would go, commissioners would go to the district meeting.
Yeah,
presumably in May, and say there'd be a
warrant request of money from the stabilization fund to go against this particular usage. That would, it would either offset the total cost of the project, eliminating the amount of tax impact, or completely take care of the project, eliminating a tax impact.
Ten percent of the budget total, but the way it's structured now, 10% of our budget would come from taxes because of the service we provide for the fire department.
But I think, say we had a treatment facility proposal coming up in the next annual district meeting, and the treasurer writes an article, instead of saying, appropriate or whoever, then they can say, you would appropriate so much money from the stabilization fund and so much money from bonds.
I think as it's written here, it's okay. It's just a question and answer. Frequently asked questions document.
Yeah. Speaking of the stabilization fund, you're trying to get that on the warrant for this May. I don't think we've scheduled a new bylaw committee meeting. They were waiting for us to come back with something specific.
Well, now we have something.
Now we have it.
Okay.
Actually, you can write the bylaw yourself, your committee. It doesn't have to be from the bylaw committee. You can submit a bylaw. It just has to go through legal channels to make sure that it's legally proper language.
We want to run through the committee because you guys talked about it.
We told them we would bring them a proposal of how we want the bylaw changed, so I feel we should do that. Shall I ask the chair, Lisa Mycock, to schedule a meeting just to discuss this? I haven't been invited to do anything else, so I think this is the only thing they're looking at. To look at. Is there a deadline for the warrant to get things in?
Yes.
Is it in April?
Is it 30 days before
it moves in? Okay. So between now and the end of April, we need at least one meeting of the bylaw committee to think about this. And I would really like you to come. I'll be there, but I think you're a better advocate for it, frankly.
Yeah, I can be there. If I'm there and you're there.
I'm missing something here. What are we doing?
Well, you're welcome too, but I'm on the bylaw committee.
Okay, and now I can.
Bylaw subcommittee.
Now I know what you're talking about.
I just think that Tom would be a stronger advocate
because
it's really it's his baby, so.
You'd have to post that if you go. Post that.
Right.
Yeah.
So I'll ask.
So check with Lisa Sykes if you can get a date.
That works for you.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll do that.
Now I do know that Vic might be available too.
Yeah.
If he's around for that meeting, because he'd be an advocate for that.
We would let him know.
Yeah. He could just attend.
Yes. And again, this hall is not available the end of March. So we could do this in early March, I think.
You probably still have our meeting here, too, if that's the case.
Yeah.
20th.
Yeah.
20th?
Yeah.
Well, as long as we are settled on that, even the Friday before our meeting, so I can post it.
Yeah. We'll know. We'll keep in touch with Brandon. So who's in charge of doing the floors in the elite? Chris? Oh, having the floors done? Who's going to be setting all that up and everything? Is Chris going to be letting them in? She'll know when everything's going on?
We're still waiting. We still have another
10
days for the bid. And it's going to take them time to get the material. So, the two people that we had to come look at the floor said that, they could do it at the last week in March.
Okay.
So.
So that then, I don't think we need any kind of action on mailing informational card or the frequently asked questions.
No, we'll massage a little more.
Okay. And I think we've talked about the bylaw revision stabilization fund proposal as well. Unless you want to talk about the content of that, and everybody's got a copy of it. So there are two articles that are drafts there. And I just put in a little background information for the moderator as to what this is. Thank you.
before.
And I, you know, I just looked at a couple of examples, and they had two articles, one that established the stabilization fund, and one that identified where the monies would come from. So that's the way I did it. I would think once the bylaw subcommittee looks at it, we'll want legal services to take a look at it. I think any wordsmith before it gets submitted to the warrant.
Well, that's a good point. You probably need your first article to say that we're
removing, replace,
deleting the current provision and removing, replace.
Yeah.
You need to have that. And did you say, you said all funds generated from the water meter charge? I thought it was the extra $10. But that's not all of the funds generated from the water meter charge.
It is. The other charge is what we call the base fee.
Which is like the minimum.
Okay.
Minimum use fee. Okay. Yeah. All right. So I'll get that remove and replace language inserted in there before we make the leasing yourself. And who else is on that committee? From the fire commission. I'll do that.
Mr. Carroll. The guy who used to live in my house.
Section 5.
The fire commission.
I don't know if you want a copy of these.
I've seen those. I have. I do not have a hard copy. So we want to call it Article 9, Section?
I believe that it comes under Article 9, Section 5. A basic use charge shall be assessed by the water commissioners.
They have to say this article is to replace a section of that article.
Yeah.
So,
and I don't know if you want to run it through Mark Boudreau, if he's the guy comfortable to write it or to look at it a little more and just make sure everything's the way it should be.
Yeah.
I can give him a call, just let him know that it could be coming, that we want to do a couple.
Why don't you wait until the bylaw committee has a crack at it? Look at them. If they have a little change.
Okay.
I'll try to get that set up.
Yeah, because we're going to.
You're going away anytime.
There won't be any exemptions then.
Are you?
Right. Just driving away. All right, we're good with cost of services, bylaw revisions. We've got water department personnel update. So there are some papers in your packet providing a job description, an announcement, and an evaluation tool for an assistant superintendent. The first page has a pretty rigorous schedule for posting prior to the end of this month. I think that's maybe next week. End of next week?
Yeah, Friday, Barnstable Patriot, Kid Caught Online, and maybe Indeed.
So, what's your preference in going through this?
I reviewed it. I sent some comments. It looks like they've been added, so I'm good.
I had some concerns when I compared it to the superintendent's job description that I don't know that it is enough.
There's not enough tasks here?
Right. And not enough responsibilities, duties and responsibilities, when compared to the superintendents.
That was the description?
Job description. At least the one I was looking at, which I think was the one we voted in.
It's pretty detailed.
It is. It's very detailed.
So you think
it's good.
He should be doing everything, he or she should be doing everything the superintendent is doing?
Well, I think he or she should be able to do. And I don't know if that needs to be in here or not. So that was the question.
Performs the duties of the superintendent when directed to do so or in his absence.
Where's that?
Last one. Last one on page. That's a good catch-all.
That is. I missed that. Don, do you have thoughts on this, having gone through the job descriptions?
Yeah, I've gone through
duties
that
we did last year.
I've gone through it. I actually went to Sandwich and got their job description for their assistant superintendent and read that and read their pay scale.
Mm-hmm.
I just think, is it realistic to get this done in this period of time? That's my big.
Are you asking us to take more time to do it? Mike, you can promise me.
I agree with your read there. I mean, when you look at a start date of April 8th,
6 weeks away,
I think, and Jen and I talked about that. That would be the earliest possible date.
Right.
You know, and they may have restrictions that make it so they cannot start that date.
I was just trying to do it so that they didn't come in the middle of something. That's when we have our busiest time of year between turnout and question and stuff like that. I was trying to get somebody in before instead of in the middle of all that.
Yeah, well, it's a target. It's,
yeah. Yeah.
It also, the two things that it also lines up well with is to have the final candidates meet with you folks at your March meeting, which gets that settled before you jump into water rate increases. And it also lines up from a salary position where compensation for the previous senior operator leaves off with the decisions that were made.
With the funds.
Starting.
So this final meeting with the commissioners, March 28th, that's separate from our March meeting?
No, same date. So what we would do is either at the beginning of the meeting, probably at the beginning of the meeting, we would schedule, at least what they did when I was hired, schedule the 15-minute window for the final candidate.
Done in public or executive session?
It was done in public.
That could go into executive, though.
It could. Mm-hmm.
That's.
Yeah, when we hired the assistant, it was in public.
It can be public, but if you're hiring a new employee, per state regulations, you can go into executive session. Particularly if one of those employees, or potential employees, one of your interviewees, is concerned about other jobs that they have.
Right.
In public session.
No, in executive session.
Okay. If I look at the executive session criteria, that's what I'm looking at. To consider or interview applicants for employment or appointment by a preliminary screening committee if the chair declares that an open meeting will have a detrimental effect in obtaining qualified applicants. So, to me, it doesn't matter if we do open or close, but if it could have a detrimental effect in obtaining our applicants, then we'll go into closed session.
I think I would be wise to contact the agency's office to get clarification on that. that's the, you know, we have to quote the one of six reasons that we're going into executive session.
That's one of them.
Well, anyway, if this is the same meeting that we're rolling out the rate increase, we might have a lot of people here.
No, it would be before, so it would be your March 20th meeting. It would be before the April 16th civic and April 17th discussion. So you could meet with this candidate in advance, or the final candidates for a 15-minute window prior to your meeting, and then discuss how you want to move forward. And then you can announce, if you come to consensus, you can announce your candidate decision in the open meeting.
I've never been through that before.
When we
I hired a lot of people, but not like this. So.
When we interviewed one person at a time. So the others had to come back. There was a scheduled time period.
Why can't they participate as a public part of the public? I think it's really.
We had a special meeting.
I don't think a public meeting to hire people is. If you have language that says it can be done in executive, I would definitely want to do it in executive. I think it's unfair to the candidates. Just it makes them less candid, perhaps, answer questions.
You really need to talk to the AG because, you know, the town council, or the school committee, when they interviewed new positions, the finalists were interviewed in public. Ditto for when the town manager was selected, interviewed in public. You have to do those interviews in public. You can do the selection process for the final interviewees in executive session, but you have to interview them in public.
Is that a Boudreaux question or an AG?
That's an AG's question. You can call the AG's office. They have a lawyer on duty every day. Unfortunately, I'm very familiar with this thanks to...
somebody up there, and they'll put me in charge of the right person. And I'll read that section to them and say, does that mean that we cannot do this in executive session for the finalists? How many finalists would there be? Two or three? I'll tell you what I find. What's that?
We did have an audience, I believe, when you were interviewing.
During the interview process, we did, and then you guys deliberated in the executive session.
Oh, okay.
It goes on, so let me read. To consider or interview applicants for employment or appointment by a preliminary screening committee if the chair declares that an open meeting will have detrimental effect in obtaining qualified applicants.
So is this a preliminary screening that we're doing? It's sort of a final screening, isn't it? Maybe that's the distinction.
And then it goes on. Provided, however, that this clause shall not apply to any meeting, including meetings of a preliminary screening committee, to consider and interview applicants who have passed a prior preliminary screening.
So
once they've passed the preliminary screening,
which is basically reviewing their,
which would be
all the stuff,
you guys,
yep.
Then this clause doesn't apply. Then they need to do it in public.
So you've satisfied yourself that it needs to be open. I mean, it is true that I guess, as Fran said, the managerial positions, you know, Brewster just hired a new town manager, and that was all done public, the press reported on it. I don't know if the assistant superintendent is considered management. Maybe it doesn't matter.
I would think it, yeah.
It's interesting, I remember hiring administrator for the town. That might have been before the open meeting law.
I was interviewed for chief ranger position in the closed room.
Yeah. Again, when do these rules come into effect?
So unless we want to have a preliminary screening committee to screen them, we should
do it open.
Yeah.
Okay. Then I won't come to your chair.
Okay. Never mind.
Well, the assistant superintendent is going to be interacting with the public. They might as well start.
Right. And I suppose they could all be in here at once. Or any candidates that we get.
It would not be, it would give an advantage to the last person being interviewed.
It sure would.
So I would rather not do that.
Well, like the way that I would mine is my window was 6 to 6:15 and somebody else was 6:15
yeah.
to 6:30.
But if you wanted to stay here, you could have.
Yep, I could have.
Throwing hate darts.
But that may have been looked on poorly.
Send in that.
Thank you.
Yeah. Offer everyone the same, opportunity to be judged individually without any other competitor being there.
Right.
You can do a random drive and see who goes first.
In a little holding room downstairs.
Well, I guess we'll cross that bridge when we get to it.
Yeah. I mean, there should be more, like two or three, maybe four at the most.
Shall we post this?
Yeah.
Post it? Post it?
Post
it.
The move is post it. Use a target date of April 8th and have somebody on.
Attempt to follow the time.
Best efforts.
There you go.
It's nice to have that resolved before you jump into
Do we need a second?
I made a motion.
You made a motion?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Hold on. Do we have a pay scale here? Or we're leaving that out?
There is in our FY 2020 budget recommendations. It's not a scale, it's a number.
Right.
So as we get to that, that's the last agenda item. Which is right here.
Okay.
I have about three different associations I can post it on also. Between Plymouth County Water Works, Pasco County Water Works, New England Water Works. There's three or four different places, and I'll post it wherever I can.
Good.
Do you need any money budgeted for that we need to vote on, or is it somewhere?
No, we have money budgeted for it.
Okay, last agenda item under old business FY 2020 budget recommendations. Everybody's got a copy in front of them. Jenna's made some highlights for us all where there are differences in prior appropriations. Obviously, one of the big ones is the assistant superintendent, and that's proposed at $75,000 per year, but there's probably going to be a range there.
Right, that was, I think we said 70 to...
70 to 80, she looked at the means based on other assistant superintendents and the job description as written.
Correct. There was the old.
Yeah.
I mean, but there are much larger systems and stuff like that. Yeah, I can have it. If he wants to take it, you get it too, just so he knows.
Other significant differences are the establishing of the USDA grant maintenance reserve at 15.5. in the maintenance section, and that's per contract, so we have to do that.
Yep.
And then grounds for the cost of number of locations and landscaping has gone up, water testing. Which went down, but we're shooting to include the PFOAs, PFOS.
Yep.
Postage would go up. Secure networks contract set up, so that's to so that we can sit in our pajamas and sign our warrants. Dues and licenses. New cross connection license for the assistant superintendent is in there.
I think it's recert for me, actually, too. Oh, yeah, I'm sorry, you're right. That's a new class just in case we needed it.
And then decrease in fuel costs and other decreases there, except for the HVAC, based on some actual uses.
Postal increase looks low to me just because you're going to be doing quarterly. And also, the postage did increase 10%, but you're not showing a 10% increase.
So we have the pre-sort license in there, but you're right. I had March bills, May penalty bills, November bills, January penalty bills, with that going off for the
bylaw. I think you should probably double it. Make it up on the gasoline.
And that will also impact the printing budget to print that number of invoices.
There's going to be going out. We were assuming that maybe there wasn't going to be a fourth bill going out to some people because they wouldn't go over certain usage and stuff. But if it's that, if we're doing a 6-month billing period,
Doug,
we're going to have to look at that.
This is just something Chris had with him.
That was the old comparison.
The comparison for assistant superintendents.
Yeah. Yeah, we're going to have to refigure that, the printing and the
postage
for sure. They're definitely going out 4 different times. Yeah.
So I have a question about the operator A and B.
Yep.
They're currently getting $47,000 this year.
Correct.
They're not getting an increase, a step increase this year, are they?
There was a chance they might. If they take this class coming up that starts at the end of this month, they could take the test and pass it before the beginning of the year. So that's why we had to carry the step. Yeah.
So
the 52 is the step.
Is the step and the 48 through 16 is the COLA?
Correct.
So is it the highest would be the 52?
Yep.
But if they don't have that rate for that, then it would be the
48.
Yeah.
That's with the 2.8%. We looked it up on Social Security. That's what the COLA is right now. I will let you know, listening to the Prudential Committee meeting the other night, the meeting that they had, Ray asked for Lisa to have a 3% raise and the new hours, and the Prudential Committee okayed it, no problem.
Now, is a COLA increase at 3%?
They just said, he just suggested a 3%. He didn't say COLA, he didn't say anything on it. He just said, we'd like to increase her hours and give her a 3% raise.
2.83.0.
Yeah.
One pizza a year.
Still, if the Prudential Committee is going to set the COLA at 3, then we should give 3. But if it's just 3% raise, that's a little. And I think that's subject to Prudential Committee
whatever they're going to have to determine what the COLA is, right? For the fire department?
I asked her at the meeting, Monday night, she really did have an answer.
Yeah.
So we looked it up on the Social Security website, and that's what it came out as. 2.8.
That's projected as of this fall.
Yep.
2.8.
Yep. Yeah.
Well, this would go to the Prudential Committee at some point.
Yeah, we have to present a budget. They will give you a blessing. We'll give you a blessing.
So, I mean, I don't mind saying 3% if they want to knock it down for 2.8. That's up to them. If that's what we're trying to be consistent with the other departments.
So the overall budget increases by 6.29%. The biggest, most of that is the U.S. Navy acquired reserve and the new position. We changed from senior operator pay to assistant superintendent. So if those were not part of this, our increase would be more than like a 2 or 3% increase.
Correct.
And now our stations and tanks number there at 40K is what we were funded at in 2019. But we moved 15.5 out of there for the contract.
Right, that's what the treasurer took out of it.
Yeah. So 24.5 is not enough money to maintain the stations and tanks is what we're saying with
right.
The 2020 budget, even though 15.5 can cover West Street. It only covers West Street.
That's too much for West Street. Really.
15.5 is too much for West Street.
Yeah, that's only going to be...
But we have to do that.
I mean, I should be putting out right now another thing saying, hey, why don't you come spray wash that because I can just take it right out of that. That money reserve right there for the maintenance of the tank. If we wash it, that's maintenance of the tank.
You should do that.
Yeah. To get that mold off of there and put some inhibitor on there, but see if we can try to bite it real quick.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But, because it's filthy.
And the 40K is sufficient for the other properties?
We looked back at, I believe it was 2017's usage, and we had 40K there, and we ended up spending like 42.
Yeah.
So
we went over.
So
it's good to have that
that
level of funds.
Back on payroll, just for purposes of our discussion, I think when we make the recommendation to Prudential with our budget, we may or may not have a better indication of who has passed the test and who hasn't at that point. At least when we get to annual district meeting, we will. But I think we have to budget for that 52 and say during the year, and we'll likely come in under.
What license is this that they're going for?
They're D2.
Distribution.
And why wouldn't they pass the test?
Why wouldn't they?
Yeah. Is it a tough test?
They didn't pass the T1, so yeah. It can be tough, yeah. Sometimes it takes some people more, but they don't make it as easy as... You got to take the... What's the class now? 12 weeks? Four
are
hours
they in
a day.
They're in that class?
Yeah. Right? And so they got to go to the class first for them to, the law states they got to go to the class first, then take it. So this is what's holding them up from just going to take the test to try to do it, is that they have to,
take the class.
They have to take the class
first. They
have
to pay the money for the class before you get to even take the test.
Right. And the problem is neither one of them have the money to do it, so we're trying to figure out a way to pay the $900 for the class beforehand. Or getting them to pay afterwards with a promissory note.
Yeah. So I think Don's right. In the proposed budget, put them in at 52.
Yeah.
And we don't even say if licenses are obtained because they will get them sometime.
At some point, yeah. This more than likely, there's going to be money turned back in.
But they don't get that step increase until they pass the test.
Right.
So there was
strong possibility
that they
you'll
won't.
Have a partial year
yep.
at just the COLA increase and a partial year.
So we need to have the COLA in there.
So we need to budget for the highest amount. We need to
yep.
budget assuming
yep.
they're going to make that step. But we will likely come in under budget because it could be October before they pass that. Right. We don't know. So we budget at 52.
And we don't want them to forego some sort of a bump at the 2.8 or
correct.
3.
So the 2.8
just because they haven't been able to take the test or they haven't passed the test.
Correct. And like we said, Don, this is going to go up because we didn't realize that that's going to be for sure four bills a year going up. We were thinking that it was a year-long span that some people, whoever used, say, you know, 25,000 gallons, didn't go into beyond and didn't get a third bill or a fourth bill.
Yeah.
So we were trying to go back and add this and that with the stuff, but we just found out this morning, really, that it's a six-month fill-in period that we start fresh after every six
yeah.
months. So definitely
which
everybody's going to get, no matter what, everybody's
definitely everybody's going to get at least two bills.
Yeah.
Some people will get four.
So it's doubled almost. So I don't know. We'll have to sit down again and refigure that real quick.
Do we need any action on this tonight?
I would just recommend putting parentheses new after assistant superintendent and put like a dash for last chair. You should fill every line with a number or something. Maybe do the same over here. Say zero. So dash. That means not applicable. And then I don't know if you want to explain. Maybe this isn't the place to explain why the change from a senior to an assistant. And the reason is because you want somebody with more credentials. Is that it?
Yes, we want somebody that can.
We want a succession plan.
Well, I think it's more
Chris wins the lottery and wins. We want to be able to have somebody step in.
We'd be more responsible in making sure that there's continuity within the department. We want to scope
correct
any circumstances.
But it's implied that the assistant super has more credentials than the senior operator. No?
Yes.
Yes, they do. The skills.
Would he have more licenses necessarily, or just the same amount of licenses?
He doesn't need them. More than likely they will, because their goal usually would be for the to better themselves for the superintendent's job.
So you might just put under notes, you could put assistant superintendent. Increase skill set. Part of succession plan or something like that.
Yeah.
And do our operators have D2 and T1?
Not right now. That's the D2 is what they're talking about, so they can step up. Yeah.
This person's going to come in with that.
Well, already with that, correct. He's going to have all the qualifications of a senior operator and then some. He's going to have a managerial position also, which is what we need. Somebody who can take the guys and go out and tell them what to do besides me going out and doing it. The senior operator was supposed to be doing that, and he wasn't the best at doing it, we'll say.
And then the backflow device tester survey is licensed. Do our operators have that?
No. Right now, I
credentials.
I'm the only one, yeah.
Well, no, I know obviously he or she has more than the operators, but I was suggesting that the reason we're paying more is that we're getting more qualifications than a senior operator would be expected to have.
Again, and somebody has a lot more experience.
Experience, yeah. So
I can tell you from district meetings, this last one, the fire and all this stuff, they just read the warrant and stopped. And people, there wasn't, usually there's no discussion. Credential credit, no one gave it a justify all that, you're welcome.
Candidate is not here.
Right there. Because in that, if you have any questions, they don't, but they didn't. They just simply.
A lot of that group was the same group that attended candidate budget night, too.
Right. And that's another time, budget night,
when
you explain it then. The same thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you going to fill this second column? If not, I would just take it out. Oh, you will. Okay.
And then I'll do a, once we're pretty set that these numbers aren't as fluid as they are now, I do a 4-year comparison.
Yeah, these are just for you guys right now, so
right.
You can see why we up things and down things, what they were there for. So if you get asked questions, you can answer them just as easily.
Any other discussion? Okay, new business. Did you miss anything, Jen? Next meeting, March 20th.
And we have that written down already, yep. March 20th, everybody can make
it. 5:30.
Location to be announced.
Location to be announced. Try for this hall, otherwise.
Ray sent us the format the other day, but he didn't give us a deadline, so I'll find out.
Sure.
It's either March or April that we presented.
Because if it's in March, then someone's going to have to go and just present it to them.
Yeah.
That's all.
Yeah.
And
then Monday.
Okay.
Yeah,
it
would be
awesome.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
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 7:30 p.m.
Good discussion.
Yeah.
We have got a lot of work done. Busy, busy people.
Thank you.
I'm just glad I wasn't here when you built two new tanks.
Yeah.